Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto, and I am very excited to get to 450 Moto number 2, because we might have had the best probably 10 minutes to start a race that we have had all year. I mean, race of the year, I think. I 100% believe that it was probably the race of the year. But before we get to that, we got to get through qualifying and Moto number 1 first here. And we had a pretty usual suspect right up top there. Jet Lawrence qualified fastest here in the 450 group or division class. Oh, also side note real quick, 450s went first, so that is why we are doing the 450s first right now. Oh, excuse me. So yeah, Jet Lawrence qualified fastest, just over a second over second place qualifier Chase Sexton. Jet Lawrence with a 210.869. There we go. And Chase Sexton was our second fastest qualifier with a 211.880. Maybe that's where I got my zero from, but I'm not even sure. So just a nick over 1 second slower than Jet Lawrence. And RJ Hampshire, who has, he definitely surprised me. I got a pretty good feeling he probably surprised a bunch of people, maybe even himself. So, yeah, very surprised on RJ Hampshire all year long. And then he came out here at Washougal. He's had a good, strong last couple races leading into the Pacific Northwest. And he started it out pretty good up there as well, qualified third with a 212.073. So Jet, the only guy in the 210s. Sexton, the only guy in the 211s. So that was pretty interesting to see. Now, Sexton was in the high 211s, but hey, still the only guy who was in that that 211 group. But anyway, moving on to the rest of qualifying was Hunter Lawrence. And I say his name like that because he was 1.6 seconds off of his brother Jet. Typically, he's no more than a second. Usually, he's qualifying second. We know at least the last handful of weeks he's been finishing second. So it was interesting to see him 1.6 seconds off the pace. And that kind of seemed to pinpoint, excuse me, his entire race day pretty much. Just he did not seem like he was gelling very good with the track, with the exception of early in Moto 2 where he was up in second place and then he fell off a little bit. But like I mentioned earlier, we will get to the race of the year in a little bit. So he qualified with a 212.516. And rounding out our top five in qualifying was Eli Tomac. Now, him being 1.7 seconds off the pace, I got a little bit of a different reaction to that than I had with Hunter Lawrence. Because Friday at press day, Eli Tomac came out and said at Millville, he struggled big time also. I didn't have a 450 section of that podcast. Time crunch happened. My last week was a little weird. Different things going on, different days. Wasn't my normal schedule. So it sucks I wasn't able to record a 450 part of that. But Eli Tomac really struggled last week in Millville, where it just seemed like he was off and just wasn't right. And so he was asked about it on press day right before Washougal, and he said they just took a big swing and on his setup for his bike. He thought it was better. He said it was better during the week and better with the stopwatch, which isn't always what you're looking for, because obviously last week he went out and did not perform very good. He got 7th overall with 6 and 9 moto scores. Nice. Anyway, so him being 1.7 seconds off the pace, was a little bit happier with that. He did say they did take another big swing this week. He said they're just going to keep on swinging. I mean, sometimes you hit a home run, and I don't know if they hit a home run in Washougal, but they definitely hit a triple. Millville, they did strike out, though. So, yeah, he qualified with a 212.622. So, 5th in qualifying. Nothing crazy. Obviously, a lot better than what he was feeling in Millville. Millville, Spring Creek, same difference. Where did he qualified 7th. He was 3.5 seconds off the pace in Millville, Spring Creek, whatever you want to call it. Same difference to me. And then his teammate right behind him, Justin Cooper, who had a big crash last week in qualifying, was still able to race. Ooh. I got a little burp attack there. He's the SMX points leader, Justin Cooper. So you know he's going to want to stay out there and race as much as he can, especially with Cooper Webb now being out. Plessinger missed this week after just absolutely battling through Red Bud, where he wasn't able to finish. Millville / Spring Creek wasn't able to finish. So he was out. Justin Cooper looks like he should be the number one seed in going into SMX. The only thing I could see maybe happening, I wouldn't be too surprised if Chase Sexton gets up there and starts nipping at his heels, but I think this break is going to help Justin Cooper a lot. Getting healthy a little bit more, getting back to the podium pace that he was on before his big crash. So yeah, Justin Cooper qualified 6th with a 212.948. And one other guy I want to talk about here in qualifying, I feel like I haven't talked about qualifying this much, maybe ever, but Jorge Prado qualified 7th. It's really the only reason I remembered this. I saw an interview he did with Lewis Phillips, I believe is his name, from Vital MX. And it didn't seem like Prado was taking too much accountability for it, for his struggles this year. Seemed like it's a lot of blaming on the bike. I then heard he wants more power from the bike, needs it to be faster. Then after Washougal here, I was watching some stuff and listening to some stuff, and it seemed like that might not be the case. Like, sounds like that bike's got a lot of power. He's working with Chad Reed at Club MX, and I guess Chad jumped on the bike and said that bike's got a lot of power. Chase Sexton even said that bike has a lot of power, and then he kind of corrected himself and saying he's noticed that just from watching him ride and racing against him. But I got a feeling Chase Sexton might have ridden that bike, because worst kept secret in the pits, just like Sexton to KTM, is now Sexton to Kawasaki next year. But we got some more racing to talk about here. Moto number one for the 450s. One other quick thing. After Millville, Chase Sexton talked about how he wasn't very comfortable going downhills there, and just felt really sketchy going down the big hills. And with him being in Florida, not too many hills there for him. So I guess out in California, Marvin Musquin was a test rider for him. Found a little bit of a setup. A couple other guys were working on it for him, I guess. And they found a setup that he liked, put it on his bike for press day, and ended up working out pretty good for him. Going here into Washougal, which everybody's talked about how hard pack of a track it is, how nobody's going to be running a scoop tire, and the one guy who was running a scoop tire was Eli Tomac. He runs it all the time. Every track they go to, he runs it at home in Colorado, which is absolutely crazy because nothing in Colorado is soft and loamy. Everything out there is very hard pack and just very, very slick. Now, I'm saying this 100% on everything else that I have heard and watched and listened to. Never been to Colorado. So, just there's that. So now finally getting into 450 Moto number one, Jet and Prado got two absolutely great jumps. Prado was able to grab a hole shot. Sexton got easily his best start of the season. He struggled a little bit his first handful of motos he's had, which I'm not super surprised about. I talked about it a little bit in the Red Bud recap, how he's not one of the top starters in the class right now anyway. And then especially with being out for so long, yes, you can do practice starts, but it compares nothing to having 39 other guys on the line with you for a real race start. You get a little bit extra of extra adrenaline and whatnot for a real race compared to just a practice start. And right before Horsepower Hill, which was two laps in, two corners in, Sexton was able to grab the lead for the first time this season, which was just nice to see that he's back and able to fight for a lead. He had it a little bit in Red Bud, then obviously, he ended up going down there in moto number two when he was close to Jet. But he was able to lead his first lap of the season and led every lap after that in moto number one at least. But Jet was able to blitz through the whoops they got before the finish line and go past Prado. And then the very next corner, Tomac was able to get past Prado, so Prado went from second place down to fourth place in a span of probably 5 seconds. And then it was really just kind of a little bit of a cat and mouse game between Jet and Chase Sexton. I noticed Jet Lawrence was making quite a few little mistakes going into the shadowed part of the track. The last couple turns before the finish line, it seemed like Jet, there was kind of a little step down mini ski jump type of action. And it seemed like Jet consistently, his back end would slide out a little bit. He'd lose a couple bike lengths to Sexton there. And it just seemed like Sexton might have been holding Jet up a little bit. And then they'd get to that section and through going into the shadows. And then after those whoops that they got, and then after the finish line, it seemed like Sexton would just pull a gap a little bit there. So I don't know if it was Sexton's, was just his vision maybe was able to adapt faster than Jet Lawrence. I know Jet said it's Washougal's not his favorite track. It's one he kind of struggles at. Chase Sexton and Eli Tomac both are very good in Washougal. We'll get to get to some of those stats here a little bit later on just how good they are, especially after this past weekend racing. So I'm not exactly sure what it was and why Sexton was just able to pull such a big gap in that one little section there. But then pretty much everywhere else, it seemed like Jet was able to catch up to him and was just all over him. And it was about 10 minutes in, Jet was all over Sexton. Tomac was about 4 seconds back. And then with 12 minutes left, so just past halfway, Jet slid out when he was right behind Chase Sexton. Kind of like he was doing a little bit right before the shadows. His back end just kind of was sliding all over the place a little bit. And he even said it on the podium after. He was just asking too much from the track and wasn't able to get everything he was asking for. So they were going into a right-handed corner. Jet, couple bike lengths behind Sexton, and then just a little too hard on the throttle, slides out, almost gets hit by the drone that was doing the video for the TV broadcast, which was insane. Tomac was able to get by, and he was now 7 seconds behind Sexton and probably about 2 seconds behind Eli Tomac by the time he was able to get up and get riding again. So Sexton was able to win his first moto of the year, which big turnaround from lap 3 of the opening round, no goggles, and has an absolutely insane crash out for, what was it, 4 rounds? I don't know if you guys can hear my computer, but it sounds like a freaking rocket ship is about to take off right now. Sucker's definitely pretty warm right now. Anyway, back to, holy smokes, that sucker is loud. Yikes. Back to the racing here. Jet just wasn't really able to find a flow once he got behind Eli Tomac. Wasn't able to find a place where he could pass. Jet did have the fastest lap of the race, though. He was the only guy in the 213s. He ran a 213.6 in the race, which is pretty impressive, especially because he never had wide open track. He was always pretty close behind somebody. Sexton was the second fastest with a 214.090. So I'm assuming they probably ran those fastest laps about the same time with just how the cat and mouse game they had was going. Sexton goes out there, grabs moto number one, and he definitely looked very, very happy for doing that, and not surprised. Eli Tomac, second place. Like I said, they might not have hit a home run, but they definitely hit a triple with this setup. He just looked a lot more comfortable. And I was a little surprised on his starts. Eli Tomac started in fourth. He came across the line. Didn't have like the best of jumps and the best straightaway speed. I thought he was going to have something a little bit better, especially with having that scoop tire on. Maybe he'd have the advantage over everybody, getting able to dig down a little bit more. And then I found out that they don't till that start straight as much as they do pretty much everywhere else. Maybe trying to get the riders to not run a scoop tire because it might get a little sketchy with a scoop tire. But Eli Tomac said, "Hey, I'm Eli Tomac. I win a lot of championships in outdoors." and I'm going to do what I want. And apparently it worked, because he went out there and got second place here in moto number one and had a pretty solid moto number two. I mentioned him in qualifying a little bit. Hunter Lawrence ended fifth in moto number one, and he was 36 and a half seconds back when Sexton finished. So yeah, just, it wasn't the best day for Hunter Lawrence. Obviously didn't gel with the track very good. His fastest lap was 2:16.415, so about 3 seconds off the pace of Jet Lawrence. So yeah, he had the starts a little bit. Where did he start? I guess he didn't really have the starts in moto number one. He started eighth in moto number one. Moto number two, although, was much better for Hunter Lawrence start wise. So yeah, I think we might as well just get into moto number two here, which had easily the best probably 12 minutes of any moto that we've seen in quite a while. I think we had great battles off the beginning. Overall was flipping back and forth. So yeah, I think we're going to jump into moto number two now. So with moto number two, they put up the starting line, and on TV they got the little banners or whatever of where some of the big guys are starting. And one thing I noticed was Sexton. Obviously, he wins moto number one, so he's got the first gate pick, and he went two gates outside of the little doghouse, the thing that's in the middle that splits the gates in half. He went two gates outside of that. And so doing that, he had Hunter Lawrence, one of the better starters in the class, on the one gate inside of him. And that also allowed Jet Lawrence, another one of the best starters in the class, to be inside. Holy smokes. That was right into the microphone. It allowed Jet Lawrence to also be inside. Prado was also inside, one of the best starters in the world just last year. Justin Cooper, yes, he's not feeling 100%, but that also allowed him to be on the inside, one of the better starters, more consistent starters. And Eli Tomac was also on the inside of Chase Sexton. So he had some of the best starters in the entire world were on the inside of him. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh no, Chase Sexton, not one of the best starters. Thought maybe if you want to be more towards the doghouse, maybe go one or two inside of the doghouse, not two outside of it. Just to give yourself maybe a little advantage. Maybe Hunter Lawrence still ends up on the outside, still picks the outside. But I guess Chase just must have liked that rut that he had there. Thought it was a good one. I'm going to go back and see where exactly did Chase Sexton start for moto number one. Okay, so he picked the exact same gate he had for moto number one. So, makes a little bit more sense now that I did a half a second of research. Moto number two, Eli Tomac is still using a scoop tire, still the only guy out there using a scoop tire. And getting to the start now, I just mentioned it. Hunter Lawrence had an absolutely insane jump off the line. Like, it really wasn't even close. He had Sexton by a full bike length halfway down the start straight, and Sexton didn't get the best of jumps. So Hunter Lawrence goes out there, grabs the hole shot. Prado second, Jett third. Sexton was sixth across the hole shot line, but he was able to kind of slice and dice his way up to third place very early. He was very, very, very aggressive in the first 5 minutes, getting past. I think there was a point where Tomac even got by him, but he was very aggressive getting past Tomac, getting past Prado, getting past Barsha, all guys who started in front of him. And Mitchell Harrison, shout out, Brighton, Michigan, about 20 minutes from where I am right now. So yeah, big surprise to see just how aggressive Chase Sexton was in the first 5 minutes. I think he knew what he needed to do. He knew he needed to get just at least second place with Jett Lawrence being in front of him. He knew he needed to get to second, especially after Jett made the pass on Hunter, which I was kind of surprised on where he did it. I mentioned a little bit earlier that he struggled a little bit in the section going into the shadows. That is where Jett was able to make the pass on Hunter. He went inside on Hunter Lawrence going into those shadows. And then Sexton, there was a point where he made a pass on Hunter. Hunter came back real quick, made the pass back on him. And me just talking about this does not, like, do justice. Like, I think I might go home, or yeah, when I'm home, I think I might just turn on this again just to watch the first handful of laps of this second moto, because it was absolutely insane with just the passes back and forth, how aggressive Chase Sexton was for what seemed like he felt very, very comfortable for definitely the first time the entire season. But then he was finally able to make his way around the outside in the shadows, where James Stewart on the broadcast said he's never seen a pass be made there in his entire life of going to Washougal, racing Washougal, commentating on Washougal. He's never seen a pass be made there. And so Sexton just had something going for him. But there's always a but, it seems like, with Chase Sexton. This time it wasn't him tucking the front end or doing anything crazy, stalling the bike, nothing like that. There was a red flag as soon as he got past Hunter Lawrence for second place, which gave him the overall. With 21 minutes and 22 seconds left, one turn after Sexton made that pass, there was a red flag. And the way they did it was the first time they've ever had a staggered restart in motocross history. Which, if you watch Supercross, they'll line everybody up in a line 1 through 22 in Supercross. And they'll put a white line, white chalk line down on the track and say, okay, you can't pass anybody until you get past this line. They go through single file, racing's on. But with motocross, having 40 guys, you can't do that. They said, with the amount of guys and the hill on the start straight, that wasn't an option. So they lined them up from the very inside gate, which was Jett Lawrence in first place, to the very outside gate, 1 through 40, based on the last lap officially completed, which had Sexton in third place and Hunter Lawrence in second place. And then they dropped the gate. They had the AMA guy run from Jett in first, like I mentioned, all the way down the line to the 40th place person. And that is how they let him out. And Sexton, like I mentioned, had to get dropped down to third because it was like the last completed lap. So Sexton even said after the race, like, oh, great. Like, I get by him finally, and now I got to get back behind him with eating a whole bunch of roost. He said it was like getting shot in the chest with paintballs repeatedly. So, yeah. Red flag happens, and Hunter Lawrence is now back in front of Chase Sexton, who obviously wasn't the most excited about having to do that, especially with how aggressive he was in the first 5 minutes of this race. Like I mentioned, he definitely thought he was going to be able to maybe get the pass and run down Jet Lawrence. But like I said, we had the red flag incident happen shortly after Sexton was able to get by Hunter. So my last couple thoughts on the red flag restart before we get to the rest of the racing. I think this is exactly how it should have always been. I understand how they can't line them all up in a straight-ish line when there's 40 guys out there compared to the 22 guys that are out there for Supercross. Saying that, I do think this is the right way to do a staggered type of restart. I think there's got to be a better way to let the riders go off the line and not have the head of the AMA running across the start line over ruts, in ruts. I mean, he almost fell at one point. I mean, that could just get a little dangerous. So I don't know if they could get, like, I don't want it to sound like childish or anything, but like if they could get just like an RC car or something and just send the RC car from one side to the other, that way if someone is a little jumpy, like Chase Sexton was a little jumpy getting out of the gate in the restart here, if someone is a little jumpy, then they hit a RC car and not breaking some guy's leg. So that's it on the red flag restart. So, after they restarted, at the top of Horsepower Hill, on the very first lap after the restart, Hunter Lawrence made a little bit of a mistake, and Chase Sexton was able to capitalize on that. And about halfway, there is about a 1.4 second gap over Jet Lawrence had over Chase Sexton. Chase Sexton also did have the overall at this point, and he still seemed much like Moto One going into the shadowed section of the track and the whoop section of the track. He seemed noticeably faster than everybody else. Jet Lawrence still was able to run the fastest lap of the race, but it seemed like Chase Sexton in that 1/2 areas of the racetrack, it seemed like Sexton was much faster than everybody else. He was able to pull a gap from when it was Hunter Lawrence behind him. He was able to pull away from Hunter. Then when Eli got behind him, he was able to pull away from Eli Tomac as well. And I noticed probably with about 2 minutes left, it seemed like Sexton definitely settled for second. He said it was really hard to make up time on this track with how slick it was and everything. And it was, I guess they said it was a little one line. It didn't seem like it really raced like that for some of it. But then there's definitely some sections where it was, especially the split lane. After the little mini ski jump, the split lane, it seemed like it was the exact same if you went outside then inside as if you went inside then outside. So back to what I was saying here. 2 minutes left, Sexton kind of settled down and seemed like he settled for second. Jet was able to go on and win Moto number 2. And Sexton rode it in for second place, getting himself his first overall win of the season. The first loss handed to Jet Lawrence. Only Jet's second career loss. And in both times, Chase Sexton was the man to do that. Now Jet has lost some overalls to Eli Tomac, won one, I should say. Sexton has won three, and I think Hunter Lawrence has one overall over his brother. So, one moto, I mean, not overall. So Jet doesn't even lose motos very often. Obviously, even less often does he lose overalls. But Chase Sexton was able to go out there in just his third race back, showed a lot of improvement from last week in Millville, Spring Creek, whatever you want to call it, and come out here and win the overall in Washougal. Eli Tomac got third here in Moto number 2. Hunter Lawrence, a much better start for Hunter, much better overall race here for Hunter. He seemed a little bit more in the fight, finishing fourth in Moto 2, and Justin Cooper, fifth, rounds out our top five. Jorge Prado. I talked about him a little bit earlier in qualifying. Very, very, very interesting to just everything about Jorge Prado right now. Doesn't seem happy with the team. And he is voicing his displeasures a lot. And he is just not really going out there. And doesn't seem like he's holding up his end of the bargain. So, overall, like I said, Chase Sexton 1-2 for first place overall. Jet Lawrence 3-1 for second. And Eli Tomac 2-3. For third place overall, just a couple points there behind old Jetson Lawrence. And it is interesting, I said, Hunter Lawrence had a little bit of an off day. He went 5-4 for fourth overall, so still pretty darn good for him. Now, taking a look at the points, Jet Lawrence still has a clear and big points lead. He is up 61 points on Hunter and 94 on Eli Tomac. So yeah, it's still Jet's championship to lose at this point. And I guess now maybe his biggest competitor for race to race is Chase Sexton, and he is nowhere near the points championship battle, I should say. Chase Sexton, now I gotta do some math here because he is 12th overall, 382 as the ice maker drops more ice. Chase Sexton is 260 points back. So yeah, Jet Lawrence is maybe now biggest competition race to race is nowhere even close to sniffing the championship at this point with how much races he missed, unless something crazy happens and a bunch of people get hurt. Obviously, we don't want that to happen with only three races left, but it is racing. I don't think that will happen, though. And now that I say that, it might happen. 250. I think we're under the 250s now. Let me take it. Yeah. I got nothing else on the race of the year here for the 450s. So now we are going to move on to the 250s. So we had a little bit of a shakeup at the top of qualifying here. Well, I guess first to start, Tom Vielle out, Juju Bomer out. So Sexton was the only Red Bull KTM guy there, with both the 250 guys out. So now getting back to it, we had a little bit of a shakeup at the top of the qualifying. We had Garrett Marchbanks actually qualifying fastest with a 2.214.412, and then we had Dylan Schwartz of the Bar-X Yamaha, the privateer team, was qualifying second fastest with a 2.15.080. Two names you just wouldn't expect to see at the top of the qualifying board here, but it happened. And then another little bit of a surprise here for the outdoors. If it was Supercross, wouldn't be so much of a surprise for me, but Seth Hamaker qualified third fastest with a 2.15.125. And then we start getting into some more of the names that I would expect to see at the top of this list here, with Joe Shimoda in fourth, Ryder D, who he showed some speed the last couple weeks. Just going to be very interesting to see how much he can kind of hang on to this. He had a tough go here in, I do believe it was moto number one, he had a little bit of bad luck, but he looks like he's starting to figure some things out. Qualified fifth, and then your points leader, Hayden Deegan, I guess still dealing with a little bit of that leg injury, that deep bruise that I guess he's got on his leg. In sixth, and the guy I really wanted to talk about in seventh place on Triumph, Austin Faulkner. Now, speak of a guy who has really started to kind of turn things around in Supercross. He was sometimes didn't know if he was even going to make it into the main event. And then his best finish in Supercross was a seventh place. He did that twice. He got a last place. Started off pro motocross 31st and then went 16 at Hangtown, 18 Thunder Valley, 22 High Point, 16 Southwick, 20 Red Bud, and then Spring Creek 8th. And we'll get into Washougal, where he had another good ride for him. Came out qualified 7th with a 216.338. So, very cool to see Austin Faulkner maybe starting to figure out this Triumph, get back to what he can do and what he was doing before his big crash in Dallas, and then he had that brain surgery in the offseason as well. So, he's got speed. He's always had speed. It's just his problem is, a lot of the times he hasn't been able to keep the bike up on two wheels. And one interesting thing, Levi Kitchen from Washougal used to be able to ride his dirt bike to the track when he was growing up. Hasn't always really had a lot of success at Washougal, and that kind of carried over into this year where he qualified in ninth place. So I guess getting into the motos, because there wasn't as much to talk about qualifying for the 250s as there was for the 450s here. Jalik Swole went out, got the whole shot. Deegan got a good jump, but he wasn't able to get over and close the door on everybody else. And Jalik Swole was able to just slide his way on in there. So Deegan came across the line in second, and like I mentioned, Ryder D had a pretty solid day going, was third, Levi Kitchen, 18th. On the flip side of that, Austin Faulkner, 6th. So that's just something you weren't really able to kind of pinpoint on who was going to be good going into this week and who was going to be bad. You would have thought Levi Kitchen would have been good and maybe Austin Faulkner would have struggled like he's been doing all year. But that just was not the case. Jahleek Swole tucked the front end, went down very, very hard. Looked like he slammed his head pretty solid. He laid on the ground for a bit. Thought maybe he was trapped under the bike, but I don't know if he was trapped under the bike or if maybe he knocked himself out. I think he might have knocked himself out for a bit. So Ryder D was able to get into the lead. Jahleek Swole did get up and continue racing, but he pulled off the track around halfway through the race. So he had Ryder D in the lead and Hayden Deegan right behind him. And then there was a very, very close call where Deegan and Ryder D came together. Ryder went on the inside. Deegan was on the outside. They jump. Lines kind of came together. They both kind of faded towards each other in midair a little bit. And Deegan's bike hits Ryder D's, looks like just under the seat, like right on the side number plate, knocked Ryder D down. Deegan was able to somehow save it and continue on with the lead. And that was really about it for the excitement and craziness that went on here in 250 Moto number one. Shimoda was able to get in second place at that point and just kind of stayed there. Halfway through, though, Shimoda was on Deegan's back tire, putting a little bit of pressure on him. Thought maybe we'd have a replay of Millville Moto number one, where Shimoda catches up to Deegan pretty quickly, is able to make a pass on him. And then about a lap later, Deegan was able to make the pass back on Shimoda, but that just wasn't the case. Joe wasn't able to make a pass on Deegan because with about 10 minutes left, the lead got to 3.2 seconds, and Deegan ended up winning with a 4.5 second gap. But Garrett Marchbanks, fastest qualifier, was able to finish third. And Joe Shimoda second. The interesting thing I saw from this was last time Garrett Marchbanks finished third, it was also during an NBC broadcast. They claimed they only had time to interview first and second, which I do believe at that time was also Deegan and Shimoda. And so when Garrett Marchbanks got up on the podium, he said, he's happy he gets a podium interview and gets to talk to everybody because he didn't get that last time. And I do believe he even said, shout out you guys or something like that. Maybe throwing a little bit of shade at NBC and Peacock and all of them. So, very exciting for Garrett Marchbanks to go out, get third place. Very solid moto. Like I mentioned, Deegan won. He also had the fastest lap time with a 216.599. He was the only guy in the 216s. And then Joe Shimoda, the only guy in the 217s with a 217.288. At this point, it looked like old Hayden Deegan's leg was okay and he was going to be fine. Joe Shimoda seems like, especially end of the season, is always there to put on a little bit of pressure. Because I don't know what it is. Everyone says it. Everyone knows it. He seems to end the seasons really great. Struggles to start the year, but this year, to start the entire season, the entire SMX season, he went out, won Anaheim 1, ended up, yes, breaking his fingers, set him back a little bit. And now it's seems like it's Joe time. Four races left at this point. Now three as we're talking, but as Saturday was going on, there was four races left. So going to be interesting if Joe Shimoda can maybe close down the gap a little bit more, maybe capitalize on this break, find a little something in that Honda that he can get a little more speed out of it. So going into moto number two, Jalik Swole, like I mentioned, hard crash moto number one, got up, continued to ride halfway through, pulled off though. He was out here for moto number two. So no Jalik Swole, so that sucks, especially with the success that he has had, and especially that Triumph has had the last couple weeks, really starting with Red Bud, with Jalik Swole getting an overall podium there. So sucks to see that for him and Triumph overall. Seth Hammaker, though, got a great jump and hole shot. Deegan got a bad start. We had Joe Shimoda in second place at this point. Ryder D, another good start, was up in third. He did end up fading, kind of like what happened in moto number one. I think he finished around seventh in moto number one. And spoiler, he finished eighth here in moto number two. No, Ryder D finished 11th in moto number one. Seth Hammaker finished 7th, so relevant to the conversation still. Deegan, bad start, came across the line in 6th. Not what he needed, especially with Shimoda getting a good start, like it seems like he does quite a bit. And Shimoda was just able to rip around the outside and make a pass on Seth Hammaker. Not the split lane. I think this was about around the new section, right before they hit the big new jump. Shimoda was able to make a good pass on Hammaker, and then was able to kind of run away from him a little bit. And about where the heck are we? 10 minutes in, Shimoda lap times 2 minutes faster than Deegan. That was definitely a 2 seconds, not 2 minutes. 10 minutes in, here we go. Joe Shimoda was running lap times that were 2 seconds faster than Hayden Deegan's, and Deegan was in fifth place at the time, and Joe was up 13 seconds. So Shimoda, once he got the lead and got clear track, he was able to just fly. He had a 4.9-second lead over second place. And then once Deegan was able to make the move to get to second place, Shimoda was already too far, too gone, wasn't able to close down the gap. But we got Mikel Harrop, another Triumph rider who's only here for this summer, which kind of sucks because it's been fun to watch him really accelerate here the last couple weeks, getting used to everything. Really, really fun to see him go, but he ended up pushing the front end, went down. Deegan got to third place. And Marchbanks was still fighting for the overall podium at this point. Harp went from third to seventh, and with Marchbanks was then able to make another pass to end up getting him that overall podium. Kind of a little struggle bus here. But with about 5 minutes left, Joe Shimoda had a 15-second lead with Deegan coming up on Seth Hammaker, who he was able to get by on Horsepower Hill for second place. And like I mentioned, Joe Shimoda, once he got that clear track, he was able to just ride seemingly way better than anybody else. Only guy in the 218s with a 218.7 in race. And it seems like he just really accelerates when the track gets rough and tough. So it's going to be really interesting to see where he ends up on the 450s, who typically are riding the rougher track. They 450s typically are the second group out there. But that will be time for another day, because I don't think he even has a contract for next year yet. Faulkner. Two passes in one lap with three laps to go. He looked so much better than he has earlier in the year. He ended up with a fifth place here in moto number two, which matched his score from moto number one. So he went 5-5 for fifth overall. It was his best result outdoors and indoors since Detroit Supercross in 2024, where he won. But outdoors, it was his best since 2023, where he at Bud's Creek, where he got a fourth place. Austin Faulkner has, I think he's starting to figure it out at the right time here. Maybe he can become a little bit of a player here when we get to the SMX playoffs, and that will be really fun and interesting to see. But he's gonna have to deal with Deegan and Shimoda, who Shimoda went out there and just absolutely dominated, ended up winning by about 20 seconds in moto number two. He went 2-1 for first overall, tied in points with Deegan, who went 1-2 for second overall, and Marchbanks, the guy who I said was a little bit of a surprise as the fastest qualifier, went 3-4 for fourth overall. And point wise, just 3 points better than his teammate, who went 7-3, Seth Hamaker, for fourth overall. Levi Kitchen, I mentioned, isn't always the best at Washougal, went 9-10 for 11th overall, and we're going to see exactly his history here. He got a 6th, a 5th. So he's getting a 6th and a 5th in his races at Washougal, and now the 11th here this last week. So sometimes you don't always get the Jeremy Martin perfect picture story of your home track and you go out there and dominate. Just hasn't really been the case for Levi Kitchen at Washougal. So now, taking a look at the points, Joe Shimoda unable to close the gap. Like I mentioned, him and Deegan tied on points for the day. So Deegan still has a 45-point lead over him. And it just seems like we're at a little bit of a standstill here in the 250 division. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this break affects different guys. I know Deegan said he was going to ride a 450 a little bit. There's been rumors of him racing the last race. Then there's been people shutting that down, mainly his dad. We will have a show next week kind of previewing the last three rounds. I think we might have a little bit of Motocross the Nations news at the same time. Talking _ Moto on X. Go give it a like, a follow, retweet, comment, all that fun stuff. And look forward to a little bit of a preview of the home stretch next week. See ya.